This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Statement game in game one of the 2020 postseason, and boy, did the Yankees deliver it. They thump the Indians and the presumptive Cy Young Award winner 12-3. Statement game, a tone setter from this standpoint. What has been the consistent knock against the Yankees over the last several years when it comes to the playoffs? Number one, they hit too many home runs, and that's going to catch up to them at some point. And number two, they can never hit really good pitching when they come across it in the postseason. Well, on Tuesday night, they dispelled both of those notions. Now, there's obviously a whole lot more work to be done, but right from the get-go, they got off to a fantastic start thanks to Aaron Judge's two-run bomb just four pitches into the game.
No question that coming out like that with, you know, DJ getting in a good count and smoking a ball to right, and then obviously Aaron going deep to give us that lead, knowing that we got Garrett going. It's a great start to the night, but you also realize it's just that. And playoff baseball, you got to keep the throttle down, and we did a great job of that tonight. Guys just up and down the batting order, just really good at bats.
It was attack, attack, attack. Only one starter in the lineup didn't have a hit. That was Aaron Hicks. You had big performances from DJ LeMahieu. Big shock there with two hits. Gleyber Torres, 4-for-4 on the night. Brett Gardner, who a lot of people were not too thrilled was in the lineup. Well, he went 3-for-5 and knocked in three runs. And Luke Voit with two hits as well. And Aaron Judge, that first inning two-run homer on a fastball up in the zone from Shane Bieber.
It's a special feeling, you know, especially against the guys, you know, most likely going to win the Cy Young this year. It's a special moment, but I just want to go out there and try to set the tone. You know, I know DJ was going to get on for me, and I just wanted to, you know, if I got a mistake, you know, don't miss it. And just kind of set the tone for the team of, you know, what we're going to do this postseason.
Well, that tone was set because the Yankees had such a great approach to going after Bieber. Now, this is a guy, when we talk about a presumptive Cy Young Award winner, 1.63 ERA, a .87 whip, and had 122 strikeouts in just 77 innings this season. And the Yankees took away everything that makes him a great pitcher on Tuesday night. They hunted the fastball. Now, you have heard that phrase before. What does it mean? Ultimately, what it means is you force a pitcher to throw his fastball in situations when he wouldn't necessarily want to, because you are not chasing the pitches out of the zone and making it easier to, frankly, get yourself out. Now, think in these terms. His lowest strikeout total game this season was 8. He had 7 in 4 2/3 innings tonight. In every way, this was Shane Bieber's worst start of the year. 9 hits, 2 walks, 7 earned runs, couple of home runs. Bieber just, whether or not he had it was immaterial. This was a lot more about the Yankee approach against him. And it was aggressive while displaying restraint. It was going after fastballs early in counts, but then when you weren't getting them later in a count, not making it easier for Bieber by chasing his garbage out of the zone. He's a fantastic pitcher, but the Yankees just clubbed him on Tuesday night. And I think more than anything, that Judge home run for his psyche was crushing, and for their psyche was beyond important. They came in not playing well. We've talked so much ad nauseum about the streakiness of the Yankees this year. They needed that right out of the gate. And when you're a pitcher who's had the kind of season that Bieber has had, and you give up that kind of a shot early in the game, all of a sudden you're kind of looking around like, what the hell's going on here? And you're trying to get your bearings. And Shane Bieber never got his bearings. The Yankees were prepared for everything he had to offer.
When you're talking about a pitcher of his caliber and a guy that, you know, struck out over 120 batters in however many innings he finished, you know, a big reason is because he gets swings and misses out of the zone. Starts with great fastball command, elite, you know, really good characteristics to his fastball, but then works that breaking ball off it. And if you chase, which is easy to do against him, you're in trouble. And I thought overall the guys did not do that, and that ultimately was the key to having a lot of success against them.
And it really did make all the difference in the world. Earlier you heard Aaron Boone talk about the notion that they kept the foot down on the gas. Well, throughout the course of the night, consistency, consistency, consistency. It wasn't just the two runs and then go quiet. It was two in the first. It was one in the third. It was two in the fourth. Two more in the fifth. Four more in the seventh. One more in the ninth inning. They kept the pressure on throughout the course of the evening. And that was just so incredibly important, not letting up at all. And not giving the Indians any sort of reason to have hope. And that, more than anything else, is really dispiriting for a team that was running a great pitcher out there on the mound. Completely takes them out of their game, especially when they are not a great offensive team. Which leads us to the $324 million man who looked every bit of it on Tuesday night. Gerrit Cole, fantastic. Exactly what you would have expected for him when he got here. Seven innings, six hits, two runs, did not walk a batter, and struck out 13. And the most important spot in this game came in the fourth inning. You had Jose Ramirez double in the Indians' first run with two out, second and third, Carlos Santana at the plate, and Cole genuinely looked pissed off. And he went after Santana and got him on three pitches. And the third pitch was a 99 mile an hour fastball that was up in the zone that he just delivered with a blank you message on it. And Cole himself, you know, you could see in that moment why he is who he is. And it was something to behold. And he never let them back into it. And even admitted after the game that that was a big moment for them to just get out of it and move on when the Indians did seem to have their first threat of the night. Overall, there's no doubt that Cole was pretty happy with his first postseason start as a Yankee.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a really complete team game. I thought that in the middle innings when they scored, we responded even with a sizable lead, which I thought was good, kind of allowed them, tried not to allow them to get some momentum through those innings. And we made some key plays on defense that kept a couple leadoff runners off the bags, which was kept the pitch count down. And we swung the bats really well, and I enjoyed myself. So it was a nice night.
And getting those runs early allowed him to be extra aggressive. Everybody wants to get runs early, especially when you have your ace on the mound, but it just more than anything says you can go out there and just get right after him and don't worry about making a mistake and giving up a solo home run, which he did at one point to Naylor. But other than that, there wasn't much to speak of. It was very matter of fact, and Gerrit Cole was everything that you wanted him to be and can't wait to see more of. One of the old guys really had a night. We mentioned earlier Brett Gardner being in the lineup and people maybe not so thrilled about that idea. Well, he put that out to pasture pretty quickly. Gardner, with those three hits, including a run-scoring double against Bieber, a home run later in the game, he was in there for a few different reasons. Number one, remember that Gardner had finished the season on an upswing and was pretty hot. Number two, remember that Gardner was instrumental a year ago on June the 9th of 2019 when the Yankees last faced Bieber in knocking him out in the second inning. Had a two-run homer in that game, a game in which the Yankees put up a five spot, and he lasted just 1 2/3. So having a little bit of success against somebody of that caliber, you want to play that card if it's available to you. And Aaron Boone did that very well. And number three, you have a pitching staff with the Indians, especially with Bieber, that is particularly tough against right-handed hitters. So why not get the extra lefty in there? And Gardner absolutely proved his worth in a couple of different ways. Number one, with his contributions on the field, he was fantastic. And there may have been controversy about him being in there, but for him, there was never really a doubt.
I always expect to be out there, always always prepare as if I'm going to be out there. I had a good idea last night before I went to bed that I would be in there. So, again, just, you know, always prepared, always, you know, no matter whatever my role is, be ready. And, you know, obviously excited about being in the lineup, excited about some of the swings I took tonight. And, you know, it's important for us to come out and do the same thing again tomorrow.
Yeah, it's funny. He's just like a guy that you can't seem to kill. Because how many times this season, frankly, in different junctures the last couple of years, did you just think he was toast? I did. At one point, I called him a fossil. But Gardner, he continues to find his way back. And with his leadership on this team, and the fact that he, when he has these slumps, understands that he's going to find his way out of it and continues to be confident in what he's doing, well, it sets a tone in so many different ways. And then there's another way in which he set a tone. Gleyber Torres did not have the season that he had a year ago, clearly. And before the game, Brett Gardner pulled Torres aside and they had a little discussion. Here's Torres to explain what that was all about.
Before the game, I get really good conversation with Gardner. He gave me really good advice. Basically, he told me during the season, we don't do really good job as a player. I feel in the same way. But also, he told me, like, baseball give you another opportunity. So we start a new position, new games, and that is the time we need to do the job for our team. So Gardner gives me that, and I feel really well after that. And during the night, we have a great game.
And that's important because Gleyber is still a very young player. And that impact that Gardner has on nights like tonight gives a kid like that an opportunity to just put whatever just happened in the regular season behind him and move on. And Torres goes out there and has four hits and knocks in three runs on the night. Brett Gardner just continues to pay dividends for the Yankees in so many ways on the field and off. And that was, in particular, pretty impressive tonight. So overall, the Yankees come out of game one feeling great about themselves, as they should. And it could not have gone really any better than it did.
This is a really good way to start out a series against a really good team, against a great pitcher, and have Garrett throw the ball the way he did is big. But, you know, we got to go do it again now, and it's time to turn the page.
And that turns to Masahiro Tanaka and Carlos Carrasco. All right, a few things. Number one, Carrasco is on a hot streak. He has been terrific over his last six starts. He has not pitched less than six innings in any of those starts, and his ERA is sub two over that stretch. Carrasco is one of baseball's best stories that probably still doesn't get enough attention. After being diagnosed with cancer well over a year ago, he has come back to have an outstanding year, and in every way, he is a feel-good story. The Yankees last faced him 2 years ago in 2018, so they really don't have any kind of fresh perspective on having seen him up close and personal. That's what a season like this does when you don't get a chance to play these teams out of the division, but you can obviously tell what he's done so far. Now, you're going to have different game plans against different pitchers, as we know. One thing has to stay consistent. That idea of attacking when appropriate, when getting pitches early in a count, and then laying off the pitches out of the zone. If the Yankees can find a way to continue to do that, they're going to have offensive success no matter who is pitching against them. Meanwhile, for Tanaka, we know what kind of a postseason pitcher he has been. In 8 career games in the playoffs, Tanaka is a guy that is the definition of a big game pitcher. Now, if you're wondering if there is actually a chance, and it was talked about during the game, but I doubt it incredibly, that Kyle Higashioka could actually catch, here's why it's not going to happen. Gary Sanchez, we've heard Michael Kay talk about this a few times on his show this year. One of the areas that he really excels as a catcher is targeting low in the strike zone, being able to get a lot of calls low in the strike zone. And that's where Tanaka has to live, as we know. When he leaves the slider or the splitter up in the zone, it is trouble. So he needs all the help he can get lower in the zone. And frankly, Sanchez has just caught him a lot more. Higashioka only caught him once this season. Eric Kratz, who is on the postseason roster, did catch him a couple of times, but I will be absolutely stunned if Sanchez is not behind the plate, not just from a comfort standpoint for Tanaka, but also because they want to get his bat in the lineup and see if he can do anything. See if somehow he can put his season behind him. We saw later in the year that there were some signs of life, but does that actually find its way into the playoffs? You have to give it an opportunity before you find out. And Aaron Boone has already made it pretty clear that he's not going to be afraid to play Higashioka a little bit more. Now, I think that was delivering a message, but if you're Sanchez, you have to listen, and you can't be ticked off about it because you have put yourself in this position. Last thought tonight is an obvious one, and it's simply this. You have to put the foot on the throat of the Cleveland Indians. You cannot allow this to get to a Game 3 to give them any kind of life. While Jay Happ would deserve the opportunity to pitch a Game 3, there would obviously be a very short leash on him with Davey Garcia right there backing him up. You don't want to get into that whole situation, especially when they have Plesac in Game 3, who's also been excellent this year. Put this one away nice and neat, and we'll see you in the division series. Don't forget, after Game 2 tonight, we will be on 98.7 ESPN with a post-game show, all of the reaction as it comes in, your opportunity to react yourselves, calls, tweets, whatever we can get into, all the way up until midnight, right after the final out. 98.7 ESPN New York is obviously the home for all Major League Baseball postseason baseball, including the New York Yankees. So make sure you are there. And of course, tomorrow morning, we'll be fired up with another edition of Savages in the Box. All right, Carlin, out.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.